Yes, everybody, welcome to MMA Latest News. My name is Stephen Nelson, joining again by our kid, Brendan Loughnane. And do you know what? After the last time we did a podcast, Brent texts me and goes, people should do a regular podcast, our kid.
Do you know what? I really enjoyed it. You know, we've known each other for how long now? I had a proper buzz
nearly
last 10
time. Years, lad.
A long time, mate. We've trained together for a long time. So why not, mate? Branch out from fighting a little bit. I enjoy chatting shit, so why not?
So this is literally what we're doing. We're going to try and have a weekly podcast. We're going to sit down, especially with Brendan's on the cusp of probably some greatness, I hope, lad. And we're going to go talk about what's going on the inside of a fight camp. We'll talk about the biggest news that's going on in and around the world from all the biggest organizations. We'll see what you guys want to talk to us about in terms of the questions. So make sure to get your questions in as well. And before we get into any of all of that lot, this video is sponsored by the good folks at BetBull. And you can come and follow us. Make sure to check out the link in the description below. Come and follow us on BetBull at MMA Latest, because it's one of the only few places that you can get some bets on MMA. And hopefully, I don't know if they will, but hopefully, and I don't know if this breaks the rules actually, but hopefully we can get a bet on Brendan, or some good odds on Brendan, shall we say, to go and win the whole damn thing. But we'll have to check what it's actually in the rules. Oh, buzzing. So as everybody should now know, Brendan signed with the PFL like last week, essentially. That was on the table prior to going on the Contender Series, but I think for obvious reasons that gets iced because there's a UFC contract on the table, which is the ultimate goal always.
I mean, yeah, it was. But, you know, as you get a bit older, the ultimate goal is obviously money. And, you know, them three letters, they started the sport, really, didn't they? And I mean,
well, yeah, really, yeah.
They are the epitome of, people call it, do you fight UFC? That tells you all you need to know about how important they are right now. But it's not the only way now. Five or six promotions are willing to pay your bills, and you see a lot of people branching out other ways now.
I think that's the best thing for the UFC as a sport is to allow, because they didn't like it. Like when Pride kicked off, they bought them out. Mm-hmm. When Strikeforce was going well, they bought them out. Like, they killed the competition, and that didn't make for the best MMA. I thought the best MMA was at a time when there was thriving organizations, and it's starting to get to that level again now. Bellator are doing great things. You've got PFL, and we'll talk about them specifically in a second, doing absolute mad shit. Am I right in thinking it's £1 million prize?
$1 million. So what are we on, 800 grand?
All right, okay. It's not split hairs, lad.
Just to, you know, just to get it right, 800 grand. I'm not like I've checked.
Got it on his phone.
I know, yeah.
Exchange rate, Dave. looks like it's going to go up now.
Oh, no, listen, like I say, just going back to what you said there before, the Contender thing, there was other promotions on ice. The number one was, I wanted to go to the UFC. It didn't work out for whatever reason. It is not the do-all and end-all. I have a big following now. People want to watch me fight. And wherever I fight, they will watch me fight. PFL's on ESPN. It's one of the biggest platforms in America. It's not as big here, obviously. Mm. Hence the reason they signed a big European talent to direct traffic this way. And yeah, like I was saying about this podcast, this is like, I would like to do a weekly thing just to go through what a week is like in a day in an MMA fighter's life. And, you know, hopefully now we can start on a Wednesday, and as we mean to go on every Wednesday.
Yep, because there's no football on a Wednesday for us lot.
Wednesdays are dead.
Do you know what? We've decided to call this Fighting Out of Manchester because, well, we're in Manchester, aren't we?
And pretty much Fighting Out of Manchester, so...
And nothing else really made sense. I suggested the Double Leg podcast. I don't think Brendan liked it.
Listen, if anyone's got any ideas, listen, throw it our way because we're wide open. This is a brand new thing for all of
us. Yeah, we can change the name on this. But we went with Fighting Out of Manchester. There might be something. We also, I thought, would have been a good one, was The Fighter and Our Kid.
But we might get nicked.
It was funny, though.
It was a good one, but... I think our other mate, Brendan, might have something to say about that.
Yeah, he's also called Brendan, which is madness. So yeah. I would say if you've got a suggestion for what you want to see this podcast called, throw it in the mixer and we would definitely consider it because, like, you know, we're kind of not sure what we're going to call this thing in the first place. Mm-hmm. Right. PFL, explain to me how it works because it's a tournament format, which we did discuss and you kept... on last time you was here.
Last time I was here, I couldn't really talk because there was multiple offers on the table and there was people dealing with these offers and trying to get me somewhere, and you know, I couldn't really give a name out. Now it's out, it's in writing, it's official. I will be fighting in Professional Fighters League, which is an organization based in America. They're only on the third season. but they've pumped a lot of money in. Obviously, there's 6 week classes, so they're giving out $6 million a year plus all the purse that they're giving everyone. So you can.
Oh, so you get a purse regardless. So it's not turn up and win the main prize or sling it. You still get a purse regardless.
Very good purse. Oh, all the way through. And then obviously the ultimate goal is to win $1 million. Now, these purses help a lot, obviously. And the main thing that I like about this PFL is number of fights. One thing I've struggled with is to get fights.
That's going to be dead loud on the mic, by the way.
Good. Emphasize. I've struggled to get fights, and these guaranteed me 7 fights in 18 months. No one else can do that. Nobody, no other promotion guaranteed 7, 18 months. So that's 7 fights, 18 months, purse all the way through. You can imagine it's not going to be a bad 18 months, Steve.
No, it's going to be all right, lad.
So, with the ultimate goal of $1 million at the end, obviously that's the main goal. So it was a no brainer. The other ones were like, oh, you know, you can fight in Birmingham Arena on this date. And it's like, done that, been there, done that, completed it, mate. So now it was like, do you want to fight at the MGM? Do you want to fight in Madison Square Garden?
Go on then.
Go on then. So this is about memories for me. It's about experience. So yeah, I'm buzzing, mate, with the
on New Year's Eve, Madison Square Garden. Come New on. Year's Eve.
Come on, mate.
I definitely texted Mrs. and said, "Do you fancy going to New York for
come
New Year's
on
Eve?"
Now, it's, you know, it's unbelievable. A kid from Witherton there, who was training in a basement with you 10 years ago, and then someone's rang from
still
America.
Smell like, you know,
and gone, "Excuse me, do you want to fight in Madison Square Garden New Year's Eve?" Thought, wow,
for real.
Wow.
No kidding, Mr.
What a turnaround for $1 million.
For $1 million as well. But that's not the tournament.
No, that's next year. But that's the night they give out the millions. Nice. I'll just be a prelim.
So you got a fight in October. That's in Vegas.
11th of October, MGM.
Right.
New Year's Eve, Madison Square Garden. So quick turnaround. But that's what I want. I want quick turnarounds. I want good, exciting fights. And like you say, there's a lot of murderers in this organisation. There's going to be a lot of tough fights. That's what I'm in it for, mate.
Well, this is true. And the tournament, when's the tournament?
The tournament starts in May next year.
And it's 2 fights in one night if you get to the final?
Quarterfinal, semi-final, 2 fights, one night. First fight, 2 5-minute rounds. Second fight, 3 5-minute rounds. So you're doing 5 rounds in that night.
Okay.
Which is exciting. Thinking back, though, if someone would have dragged me off that last round, you've got to get back in there, it would have been difficult. It's going to be difficult, mate, but life's about challenges. It's something I've never done before. It's new to me, so I am excited for it.
And then the finals at a later date?
Madison Square Garden, every year, New Year's Eve.
Oh, so when is it, May?
Yeah.
So then you'd be on ice for 7 months, or you got another fight?
No, you have 5, don't you? So you have 2 prelim fights, May, then you're fighting about 2 months later, then you'll fight quarterfinal, semi-final, same night, and then you'll fight in December.
So you get 7 months off after that?
So you'll get...
quarters and semis.
So you fight May... then you probably fight 2 months after, then quarterfinal, semi. It's about every 2 months. So, yeah, I'm buzzing with it, mate. Can't complain.
Mm. Oh, nice. Now, there is a lot of Dagestanis in this. Why on Instagram all we're seeing is Brendan at the Y?
Like, I love to wrestle, mate. I love to wrestle. You know me. A lot of Brits shy away from wrestling. It's one thing I've never shied away from. I've actually run towards it, and ultimately cost me a contract where I wanted to be for wrestling. But let's not go into that again, please. So let's go somewhere where wrestling's a bit more appreciated.
Now, if anyone's not been to the Y Club in Manchester, what happens is a load of really angry, like 5'8" Iranians are just going to shout at you in a little bit of Persian, and you're going to, if you're me, at least you go, what the fuck is happening right now?
Oh, it's absolutely, it's savagery, you know. I've trained with some of the best, like, the best Iranian wrestlers have come over here, and, wow, they're just savages. It's not only that, you got Bulgarians, Eastern Europeans, a lot of Polish guys and all that, and it's where the British team train, you know, and not one of them's actually British, it's funny. They're all just from all over different Eastern European countries, but you know what, they're absolutely amazing people. They come here with the work ethic, and they come here to train hard, and you know, they want to get these passports, they want to be on the British team. So the work ethic's insane, and that's why I credit my wrestling to how it is.
So, are you getting super best friends with Ali Arish again then, prior to this?
I've not seen Ali in years, you know, I miss Ali, but he was another savage. He was the original.
That's what you want, isn't it? Because he's the original Khabib.
What originally happened was I started MMA, Danny Rams, where nobody could wrestle, not one person knew what wrestling was. And this random guy called Ali Arish came in, crazy wrestler, started absolutely
you've ever seen in your
throwing
life.
People through the windows he was. And I was like, wow, what is this? And that guy took me on his wing, listen, come with me to, I met all the Iranians.
Get shouted at in the Y.
Get shouted at for the next 10 years, but become an absolute savage.
I think Ali would be, I mean, I'm sure there's others at the Y that are in that ballpark with him as well. But I think Ali would be a great training partner in preparation for this, because you know what's coming out of Dagestan. You know, you're going to get Khabib.
Savages.
Yeah. Or at least going to try and Khabib you.
Let's say I would have got signed that night to the UFC. They build you up, 2-3 fights, maybe a couple of European opponents, and then you'll end up with big fights. No. I'm going in against Andre Harrison, 22-1. Cabo Alayev, 14-0. Brazilian Luis Falomino, 33-1. These are the guys that are in this tournament. Absolute out-and-out savages. Well, that is what I'm here for. I'm here to test myself against the best.
Has
the
draw
in the
been
world.
Made or is a draw late, happen at a later date?
No, I don't even know who's in the next tournament. This is this one currently. So could be anyone.
You could go bananas now.
But guess what? They have to look at Brendan Lochlin and they have to see me on paper and go, oh, this kid's not really. Yeah.
And they have to know that, yes, you might be a Dagestani with great wrestling, but are you well-rounded like Brendan is? Because I know that you're going to be focusing on wrestling for the possibility of fighting a Dagestani, but you could just as easily get a kickbox like you had in the last fight. You could have someone that's a striker. You could. He's MMA, man. You know, you can have anything.
You have to fight twice in one night. I mean,
and you might, yeah, if depending on how this draw goes down, you potentially got to look at 3 or 4 opponents and go like, right, okay, so yeah. Fighting against him, I got a strategy for him, and then if I get this to the semi,
how exciting is that, mate?
On the fly game planning,
it's just like, let's have it.
I bet Dominic Cruz is hard as a motherfucker thinking about how he's going to help plan for this.
I know. I mean, like you say, you're just putting your name in a hat and you get him. All right, sweet, and that's pretty much how it's going to go.
In fact, I need to have a chat with Dom about how he's going to game plan this, because I bet he's got a notepad on.
Dude, they can't really be a game plan, can they? You just have to be fit, you got to be strong, you got to be ready, and you just got to have it, and that's pretty much it.
Dom will.
Got to be ready for all 11 guys.
Now, what I saw with the IMAFs, because I thought it was very interesting, the winners of all the IMAFs in the tournament were grappling-based, generally, unless they're an absolute killer, because
fighting multiple times.
You fight multiple times, who takes the most damage? Strikers. Wrestlers. This is the time that you do double leg in the last 10 seconds, because fuck taking any additional damage when I'm fighting in 2 hours. Fuck that noise all the way.
Well, Lance Palmer is 7-0 in there now. He won the featherweight tournament last year. He's smashed another 2 guys this year, and he's the epitome of taking him down and holding him, and he's just going through everyone in this tournament.
Do you know Adam Amasinga?
Yeah.
Yes, bantamweight from...
Yeah, Dean Amasinga's brother.
Yes, he's a little brother, yeah. He's a fucking brilliant technical wrestler.
Yeah.
He wet blanketed the... And I mean, no disrespect with that. And I mean, it was technical fantastic. Yeah, yeah. Wet blanketed the fuck out of... I think it was the Euros at IMAF. And it was an absolute fucking clinic on, I'm not going to take a single punch. Brilliant. It was a little bit more exciting in the quarters or the semis. But it comes to the final, it was like, I'm just going to fucking take this medal. No problem.
Nice.
And I think sometimes that's how you got to go.
Do you know what? 1-0 Speaking to you now is probably the first time I've actually thought deep into what I'm going to do. I'm not joking, mate.
Oh, my fucking God.
I've literally just got myself back in the gym, getting fit again. And the rest will come, mate. You know, I've been doing it 11 years. If I don't know what I'm doing now, I'm never going to know, am I?
But like we said, with them 3 defeats, that's on the record. Sometimes you probably should have gone for a fucking double leg at the end and try and stall a round.
There we go.
And I think in a tournament format, I think it's got to be in your mind. I think you've got to. I think you've got to go in there and go, I'm gonna fucking be the judge's little bitch here.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking set this.
Or you can just knock them out and then they're already done then.
Yeah, if you don't need the judges, then
if you could just knock them out and move on to the next man and knock him out, then you're doing well, aren't you? I think that might be more the game plan for me, you know. That's definitely the plan.
Fuck's sake. Yeah, because
just dying 5 out in a row and just go, right, I've had it.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's no better way to win a million quid.
Would be brilliant, wouldn't it? Just ironing every single person out.
You know Prince Aaron from Drawsden, the boxer?
Yeah.
So he was in the prize fighter one that they had all on one night in London. We travelled down with him to go and watch that. I mean, that was a top night on the piss after he won that. And that was only for 32 grand, I think. It was the check that he got. It was a big stupid checks that you get by the end of it, and he won it all in one night. And it's a fucking brilliant thing when you see them fighting in tournaments. It's a fucking mad idea, but it's a brilliant experience, if you like.
You know what it's like? It reminds me of going back to the Colosseum, Caesar standing at the top and going, right, you lot, scrap it out.
Original UFC.
And he's like, yeah, no, yeah, no. And then the winner gets all the caper. He's off. And that's what I'm in it for, mate. I'm in it to see. I've always thought to myself, right, I'm good at that, but how good am I? And this 33-1, 25, these are the guys.
Yeah, there's no...
Okay, how good are we then? Let's see. We'll find out next year.
Jesus. Yeah, this is UFC 1 territory, isn't it?
Brilliant.
All on one night.
Brilliant.
Who's going to fucking win? Right, we have got some questions from you guys. We are going to keep coming in with some more of these as we go through, and we've got a couple of things that we're going to touch on later on as well. Mazdak says, prediction of Colby versus Robbie and thoughts on Nasrat as a prospect. We'll start on Colby versus Robbie, because what do you think of Colby Covington at the minute? Because he's definitely trying to play a role of being a bell end, which I think he's definitely achieved.
Do you know what? It's pretty embarrassing. I've not actually seen one of his fights. I don't know anything about him. All I see him is running around. But...
Well, I think that's more of an epitome of the guy, to be honest. That you
have
don't
you watched
know
his fight?
Yeah. But
any good?
He's all right. He got himself
Lawless
an interim title.
Fucking savage.
At what point
Robbie Lawler
does Robbie Lawler's history catch up with
he's
him?
He's a savage.
Look, mate, you see what Woodley did to him? I mean, I nearly lost my fucking mind when I saw
him. He's such a savage. I'm such a Robbie Lawler fan. I just hope he carries on to end people and scream how much he loves it.
Okay, on that note then, because one of the notes I did want to talk about is obviously we've got BJ Penn returning again. Jeez. Do you think someone needs to step in with him? Because he's not won since about 2010.
Seven. I know that Nick Lenz even calling him out. Like, come on, why'd you want to call someone out on a seven fight losing streak? Just looking paydays, aren't they?
Let me just pull up shirt.
Fair play to him. I mean, do you know what? I seen a coach interview that he's coached where he said, listen, his life falls apart when he's not in camp. And I can somewhat hear what he's saying. Us as fighters, mate, you're forgetting this is all we know. All we know is to get up every day, train.
And BJ's tried to retire. And obviously, there must be something, because he had a 3-year break, 24.
That's really sad seeing all them red dots on his record.
So
I grew up loving BJ.
Lost to, though,
Rory McDonald, Nick Diaz.
You go all the way back to who he lost that. I mean, Machida, that was a light heavyweight, I think. Jens Pulver, Machida, George St. Pierre, Matt Hughes, George St. Pierre again, Frankie Edgar, Nick Diaz, Rory McDonald, Frankie Edgar, Rodriguez, yeah. Seaver, Hall, yeah, Guida. Like, if you're not beating Clay Guida, mate.
BJ, you're an absolute legend. People like me look up to you. A lot of people look up to you. Just call it a day, mate. I know our lives are a mess without fighting. They're a total absolute shit show. But we have to find life back out of fighting. Hence why I'm sat next to Steve here, having a little buzz every Wednesday. See how this goes.
He's now 50% win ratio as well. 16 wins, 14 losses, 2 draws.
Sad.
If he doesn't win his next fight, he's got a losing record.
It's really sad to see. And
he's one of the people that's the reason I watch MMA. From watching.
Can we stop talking? Can we move on to the next subject? Because BJ makes me really sad.
It makes me sad as well. All right. Keep getting your questions in. So, Conor McGregor. It's been a weird old sport without McGregor in it. I mean, hang on. While we're on it, let's have a look at actually when it actually was that McGregor last fought. Because it's been a long, old time.
What do you think of him and Aldo too?
Why do we need to sit? One, can he even get down to 140?
Conor could fight that bottle of water there and everyone would turn up to see it. We just need him
Correct.
In the sport, mate. We need him about.
But, what was it? I mean, when did he last fight? Here we go. 2015 it was.
I'm telling you now.
As if it was 4 years ago. Where has that
No,
gone?
Khabib.
No, but Aldo, the fight.
Oh, the Aldo fight. Wow.
And it's been 4 years since he fought at featherweight.
He's going to be at lightweight, I heard.
Okay, maybe not change.
That's a bit better, yeah.
Because I'm thinking, he ain't getting down.
Nah, he's not going to do featherweight again. He's got 300 mil in the bank. You won't be catching me. You won't catch
me. That proper 12 whiskey is everywhere.
You would not catch me starving to death with 300 mil, mate. If I went to Halifax and put in my statement and it said 300 mil, I'd go, oh, no way, I'm not eating today.
I don't know if I'd be able to drive past a cash machine if I had 300 mil. Lads, just pull over a sec and be like, really?
What a legend. We need him back in the sport. Don't care who he fights. McGregor for the win.
Okay, let's be serious then. Who would you want to see him fight? Because I don't think I want to see him fight Aldo. That in 13 seconds. I mean, it'd be great to see him go to war.
Aldo looked terrible in his last fight. Absolutely terrible. Didn't throw a punch. I mean, it's not the fight I'd want to see personally. Okay, I'd love to see him fight Ferguson, to be honest. That'd be the fight that I'd want to see. But, you know, even Pettis maybe. If Pettis beats Diaz...
I thought it was a good little triangle.
Diaz 4 would be lovely.
Because I thought Ferguson had a real good opportunity to beat Khabib because he's going to be so dangerous off his back. And I thought that you're probably going to see McGregor have a real good dust-up with Ferguson. But it's just one of those. McGregor matches up really badly against Khabib. but he matches up great against Ferguson. If the UFC was smart, they'd just let that merry-go-round of the belt just go like that and just keep letting them fight each other
I mean, listen, McGregor is the fight game. Listen, I've been at McGregor fights, and without McGregor, I went to the last one with Jones. What was Jones' last fight now? The one before that? I was in Vegas for it, the big one.
2-3-8
Anyway, they said it was going to be big. It wasn't even a quarter of what it's like on McGregor fights. McGregor brings everything to the fight. We need him, mate.
He brings Europe to the fight.
Honestly, he brings everything. We need him, mate. I've been to that Las Vegas when he's not fighting. It's pointless. There's no buzz about it whatsoever, even though the big fight's on. And it's great to see him back training. It's going to be great to see him back in the cage.
What is the date of that rumoured to be?
Madison Square Garden, November
244, UFC 244. Let's have a look at that. When that is
November time, yeah.
November. It was a nice time for the fights. Is no, because I was going to say that. Is that the thing you want? But it's not. Yeah. So Madison Square Garden, 2nd of November, UFC 244.
Brilliant. Madison Square Garden, eh? Not a bad place to fight, is it?
It's not a bad place to fight.
Jeez.
Could find out on New Year's Eve.
Brilliant.
Hey, what a place to spend New Year's Eve as well.
Listen, I grew up watching Home Alone. I've always wanted to go to New York at Christmas time. I'll be starving to death there trying to make featherweight on Christmas Day with no food.
Oh, God, yeah.
But imagine New York, or like do about 10 days in January and just like really take it in. I can't wait, mate. What a time to be alive.
CJ Brown says, decent to have a quality MMA podcast about. There's not a lot of really well-produced ones, I'll give you that, in Europe at least. So we're hoping that we can be your favorite.
I'm glad somebody just mentioned Diaz and Pettis. What a fight.
Yeah.
What a fight.
Pettis has gone under the radar, isn't it? Because Dos Anjos smoked him and he just went...
And then just come back up.
Yeah, he's just gone to work.
Knocked out Wonderboy. No one's seen that coming. At welterweight. Yeah. Even though he fought featherweight.
Yeah, and Pettis is a great fighter.
Oh, listen, what a fight that is. Who do you see? Is it at 170 or 155?
No, actually.
That's the big thing. If it's at 170, Diaz, 155.
Which card's it on?
No idea.
Let us know in the comments which card's that's on. We'll have a look at that one. A good question here from Dan Eagle, which says, what's been your most challenging situation to date?
Wow, that's a good question. Challenging situation
win the fight game.
I'm assuming.
The last one.
Was that a challenging situation?
Nah, I'd say...
Because I think you bounce out of that quite well, to be honest.
There's only two times I've ever actually thought about packing it in. Yeah. The first one was when I lost to Wilco, and I thought I did enough. I actually had two very weird moments I'm going to share with you on here. The first one, I remember walking out, I fought Wilco, didn't go my way. And I just remember looking on my phone, everyone going, you won that, rah, rah, rah. And I don't really know in the fight. I have to ask my coaches, am I winning this round? I don't know what the fuck's going on. I'm just in the zone and I'm performing and that's it. So I walk out the arena.
I was thinking, it's had to come down. I was watching it.
I should have, but anyway, I walk into the changing room and everyone's grabbing me, great fight, and I'm blooded up and that. And I remember walking in, same thing. It's the only other time I pissed blood. How weird's that? I pissed blood again for the first time. And I've looked in the mirror and I'm like, what are you doing? Face all over the place again, rearranged. Cried to myself, mate, in the mirror. Like, I was devastated, like, oh, can't believe it's gone after everything I've done.
Was it about 21?
Baby. I was a baby. And then I got onto the Ducamois, another very disappointing one. Not as disappointing. Healy, not very disappointing. And this one, mate, it was just another moment of...
A loss.
I'm 7 years ahead again. I've done pissed blood again for the UFC, and my face is rearranged again.
And not got
it was
contracts.
Definitely a...
But so does that feel like a loss to you then?
But leather the guy, where the guy's getting stretched out and taken to hospital, and I'm feeling like I'm the loser, sat there like, this just don't make sense. Like, why should I feel like this? And it took me another chat with my coach, which I love to death, because imagine most coaches now, this PFL offer's come on the table, most coaches would be on you now going... Oh, we know we're about to make a few quid now. But I said to him, I don't know what's going to happen from here, whether it's going to... And he went, listen, I just care about you. Doesn't matter. We'll call it a day. Whatever you want to do, July, I'll support you. Yeah. And then obviously I'm a warrior, mate. Comes round. I had my little party. I had my little time off. Settled with it in my head. And I said, it's going to have to be a good offer to get me back in there. And it actually is an amazing offer. It's $1 million. And I'm like, all right, let's pick the fucking bag up, put it over the shoulder again, back in champs camp. and the train goes on. There's too many people that believe in Minardi. There's too much support behind me. It's a big train. I'm representing Manchester on a world stage. And, you know, this tournament's really going to see where I'm at.
When are you going back out to San Diego?
I think I'm going to do my camp here.
Really?
Yeah, interesting. I know. I mean, I'm looking at this now as well. I've travelled to Tiger, travelled to Australia. I've travelled to Alliance. I've been in Vegas, travelled to all the gyms there. The amount of gyms I've trained at, mate, you wouldn't even believe. You know what I've realised? There's no special secret. There's no potion. There's no this, there's no that. I know now I'm going to get in a fight. If a fight gets hard, I'm going to be there till the end. I know there's no secret wrestling moves someone's going to show me now. All it is about me getting fit. I'm at the Y Club, world-class wrestlers. Mm. I've got my world-class striking coach at home. I've got Cam, he's been doing my grappling with me, which has helped me to this day. He's a great grappler. And you know what? I'm going to stick to what I know. I'm going to stay here. And this is where I'm more comfortable. I've got the Manchester Performance Institute. I've got loads of people now that are getting behind me and helping me. And I'm just building a massive team behind me in this country, and I'm going to take it over there and show them what we got.
Sound.
You felt sick. I felt sick too.
What was that one?
I'm reading some of these. Romero, Costa.
Where are we?
That's where actually we are. Quite a lot of questions here.
When Dane didn't call your name in the contender, oh, that was it, yeah. Massive finish, but happy with how it's all planned out for you now.
Thank you.
Chilling. 241. Okay, so UFC 241 is Pettis and Nate Diaz. Now that, at least in the top end of the card, at least, starting to look like what a good card is, because 240 was a bit ordinary. DC and Stipe, mint. Pettis and Diaz.
Joe Romero's mint, back in there.
It is at 170. It is at 170, so that's interesting.
Diaz is far too big at that weight.
Yeah.
He's a big lump.
I'm thinking, but Pettis' striking's crisp.
And his range. Diaz is, and he's been out for a long time, though, Diaz.
But he's a weird guy, though, isn't he?
I know, he just loves it.
Romero versus Costa, that's fucking, that might as well be on Mr. Olympia, let alone a UFC card. He's in the state of the pair of them.
I really like that Sadiq Youssef as well.
Yeah.
Really good featherweight prospect. I really like watching him fight.
There's some good names on this. Asun Sao's fighting all the way down on there. That's a good card. Brunson's in it as well.
That'd be a good night to stay up for.
Yep.
Can't wait for Pettis and Diaz. I don't know why. It's just 17th.
We'll be doing a live for that as well.
It is so exciting, mate. It is. I mean, Stipe and Cormier.
Don't
get me out of bed.
Fair play for Stipe, because he just was like, nah, I'm not.
I'm waiting out.
Fight.
Fair play.
I want a rematch. And you go,
stuck by his
okay,
guns.
Fair play. I do want to see John Jones at heavyweight, though.
Why?
Because I think he fucking annihilates everybody. And that,
John Jones,
that's a good thing for the
UFC.
He's
the greatest MMA fighter to ever put a foot in a cage. He is.
I don't think he's gonna
literally,
much argument.
Literally, that man there. I'm a mixed martial artist who's done it all my life. My coach has done it all his life. Everyone I know and listen, we're like in awe. The way he figures out opponents, they'll come in, world-class striker, he'll find a way to navigate in world-class grappler.
It's how shit he makes them look. These are guys that are just going on a bang all the way for everyone, and then they get in there against John Jones and they just look
He
shit.
Floats through, he's so in the moment, he just knows exactly, he's got a tool for everything, he's got an answer for everything. You look at the list of people he's beat, nobody will ever, ever come close to that.
And
that one loss pisses me off.
Do you know what? Yeah, get him at heavyweight. And I just want to see him
against
some
who,
of the
though?
Monsters. Who cares?
Who's the monsters at heavyweight? Tell me.
Bring Brock back. Let him do all the gear he can get his hands on. And let's have at it.
No one wants to see that fight.
I want to see that fight. So I want to see how, because Brock's just going to charge him, isn't he, like a bull. And I want to see him if he can slide out of the way of that. Because there's not much else at heavyweight. It's pretty ordinary at heavyweight at the minute.
There's nothing going on, and he'll just walk through them all again.
Exactly. And that's how.
Is that what you want to see?
Yeah, I want to see him do that.
No, you know who I want to see him fight?
Rumble.
Johnny Walker.
Oh.
I'm telling you now, he is creeping up.
Johnny Walker's a bad one.
He's a dangerous kid.
There's a couple kicking it. Middleweight and light heavyweight has got a few where you just go,
ugh. Johnny Walker, mate.
That Paulo Costa is another one. This is going to be a right tear up between. They might have to reinforce the cage for that. How are them two middleweight, by the way? How are them two middleweight?
Romero is one of my favourite fighters. What an animal. Just shows how good Robert Whittaker is, though, doesn't it, really?
Mate, and let's talk about that. So, obviously, the Smashes was where you ended up fighting.
Oh, yeah, we were together on the show, me and Rob.
Mm.
which is a weird thing to see how well he's doing.
Because he was, that was it a welterweight and lightweight?
Rob Whittaker was 21 years of age. He was the same age as me. We were two young kids. He was on the Australian team. I was on the English team. And if you'd have said to me, this guy's gonna run the middleweight division.
He was ordinary
for
on
the next
matches,
5 years. I'd be like,
was it a weight cut? Do you think?
Oh, he was mad him. I never forget Rob's weight cuts, right? Because I used to be really so basically, he used to be fighting at 170. The guy was a monster. He used to make weight the day before. I'll never forget it. Beyond weight. Yeah, I just like to make weight a night before, which is 24 hours dehydrated to death. Yeah. I'm talking,
just
he's
dying.
Got 25 pounds there. And he sat there like in the house. I just like to make it a day early. It's like, wow. Anyway, the next day he'd make it. KFC, birthday cake. He was eating everything shite. Just like, boom, 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 putting it in. And I was like, Rob, he's like, this is just the way I like to do it.
But that, you got to fight multiple times and cut multiple times.
And it was mad, mate. His method, he had his own method in his head. And no matter what nutritionist on that show told him what to do, he just did whatever he thought and he just knocked everyone out.
But he still looked ordinary.
He did.
At welterweight. Because that was a crack, wasn't it? It was lightweight and welterweight. And everyone was sort of like, they always do it on the Ultimate Fight, don't they? They just fucking bolster it with people who aren't of that weight class.
Yeah.
And then obviously he moved up.
He was a welterweight for years. He didn't ever fight middleweight before that.
No.
And then
the best thing he ever did was
randomly,
to move up.
Randomly jumped up and I thought, ooh, because he looked ordinary at 170 after the show.
Yeah.
He lost to Court McGee.
Just like.
Like random people. And you're thinking, and then he jumped up and it was like, whoa.
Where's this kid?
How did he stop Yoel Romero taking him down? That's one thing.
He's had some great fights, and he was justifiably the champion.
Brilliant.
Very interested to see where he can go, but because injuries have wrecked him, haven't they? I mean, you get injured.
Him or Adesanya?
Oh, shit. I do not know, and I am not missing
Robert Whittaker's
half of 1 second of that fight.
I know. Gastelum and Adesanya was absolutely chaotic.
I think Adesanya could be brilliant for the sport. I think it's excellent to have champions from down there as well.
I loved every second of that fight,
Oh, I'd be tempted to go without,
Who wins?
I have no fucking idea.
I hope Rob comes back at even a shade of the man he was against Romero, because them two fights versus Romero are going to take something out of your system.
I wonder what the odds are. I don't even get odds that far out, actually, but I wonder what we're not going to get odds this far out, I don't think. I'd be very interested to see who the bookies make favourite now, because I think that's a hell of a fight. What else do we have in the notes that we was going to cover then? We didn't really cover on Aldo McGregor too, did we? So obviously we want to see the guy back. How do you think it goes down? Does it go down any different?
Conor beats him again.
Does 155 make any difference whatsoever?
Conor beats him. Conor's so sharp on the feet.
It's not going to be 13 seconds this time.
He's so dynamic. He's so good with all his weapons. And I just think Aldo's a 1-2 low kick guy. Don't get me wrong. If he hits you with the 1-2 low kick, it's curtains. But I mean, what we've seen from Conor's diversity in his attacks on the feet. Can't see Aldo trying to take him down. I think he's going to stand with him. And anyone that stands with Conor and actually stands with Conor, it's a pretty short night, isn't it?
I'm trying to think who's really...
He made Max Holloway look very ordinary. Oh, and look at him now.
Right, this is something that we're going to touch on. Obviously, we saw Max extend his run at featherweight, which... it's a bit of a jib, really, because he did go up to lightweight and lose. So, and he's like, well, he's got this record at featherweight. But either way, he has. He has got a record at featherweight. A lot of people calling him the greatest featherweight of all time. As a fellow featherweight, where do you rank him?
He got beat by Conor McGregor. Are we all forgetting?
I don't know if he got beat. He got dealt with.
Are we all forgetting, like...
with no ACL.
Surely when you call someone the greatest of all time, they've got to have beat the greatest of all time. And he hasn't.
So would you like to see that go down? Because I don't think that goes down at featherweight.
Can everyone stop talking about Conor McGregor at featherweight? It's just never, ever, ever,
ever. Do you
reckon
there's more chance of McGregor getting a featherweight on me?
Definitely you. 300 million, please get it in your mind. How much money that is. Do you think...
cut weight, get bent.
I'm eating caviar every day. And you want to ring me and say, do you want to starve? I go, no, I don't want to starve. I want to eat this caviar.
I'm going Greg's.
I'll fight 55 because I probably walk around 170. I could do that overnight.
255. Yeah, Conor is not going to be fighting at 145. And he looks so ill. He looks like someone who...
wow.
He gets it done. Fair play to him, but he does.
He really went for them cuts, didn't he?
Deaf, doesn't he? I think, was it the...
the one where Uriah Faber.
Remember
that one?
The Chad Mendes one. He looked like one of the smackers.
But you know what? He never missed it, did he?
Nope. And he looked so poorly,
man. He's been really ill on the weight cuts, mate. And that shows his mental strength, mate, because he's really gone down and cut big amounts of weight there. And I'll tell you, from cutting weight, it's the most horrific thing you can actually go through. For people that are watching this that don't really know about weight cutting, let me just explain what actually happens in a weight cut. I am 12 stone now, yeah? I fight at 10 stone 4. So, okay, you think, oh, yeah, you've got 11 weeks. No, no, no. I'm 12 stone with abs. So there's not much to go. You have to literally physically starve your body to death for them hold that whole time. Then you think it's a good idea to get to fight week while you're already starving and you still got 15 pounds going. You're like, oh, now I've got to get this 15 pound off. So it's a great idea now to sit in a sauna for 3 days.
It's coming out your brain.
So just
have you had any weight cuts where you've really
had a really, really bad one? I fought on Bammer in Blackpool a few years ago and had a horrendous one where, like, literally, it was touching over if I was going to die or not. I had to, like, have the window down because the fucking fight was in Blackpool. And I just had my head out the window, tongue out, like, I was on weight. And I was like, am I going to make this or not? And then I got there. I had an IV. The IV didn't even go in because I was that dehydrated. And it went in too fast. Then I got ill. And then, literally, they had to wake me up to fight. I was in the changing room, just like, oh, you're fighting now. And I'm like, why you got to fight? Still went in and won the fight because I was about 50 kilo heavier than him. And I just grabbed him, he was like a child. But it was not big, it was not clever. And listen, that shit takes a toll on your body. So now I do it a lot more professional.
Jesus Christ. Weight cutting is the maddest thing in the sport. It really is.
It's the most stupid thing. And whoever come up with it's stupid. And anyone involved in it's stupid. Anyone who does it's stupid. Anyone who agrees with it's stupid. Because you're absolutely dehydrating your body. Then you're getting punched severely in the brain.
Think
with
of
a dehydrated brain. Stupid.
Imagine if any of the United players had to cut weight the day before they performed. The amount, I mean, how did Rumble Johnson? How did Rumble Johnson?
I weight cut every day.
60 pound. It's no wonder he was inconsistent. He was nearly dead.
You know what? Any girl I've ever met in my life, right, and start telling them about weight cutting, they go, "Oh, I'll give that a go." And then
relax.
Then you start telling them. Nobody goes back on straight away. Like, oh, fucking hell! People don't realise it.
I've done it once. I only had to do 6 pound.
How was it?
Six.
You know, but doing that in the morning an hour before.
No, six. It was hoodie, sweatpants, bin bags, skipping in the sauna.
It's a stupid shit.
Skipping in a sauna, right? And his old man. I did it at the baths in Mosside as well. Not Mosside ones. The Commonwealth Games baths. There's old geezers in there at 6 a.m. and just looking at you like.
Funniest one I ever
what
heard.
Are you doing?
Aaron Wilkinson. I've got to credit you for this. He was cutting weight in David Lloyd or some posh gym anyway. So he's passed out in the sauna, boom, gone. But Aaron Wilkinson used to cut a lot of weight. Anyway, he's outside now, he's unconscious. His doctor's come out, he's filling him with water in his mouth. Look.
Get out.
Oh my God. He's filling him with water.
Dehydrated.
And he's gone, he's waking up like, get it out. Spitting the water out. Because he knew he had to make the weight. The doctor's like, wow, what are you doing? Like, spitting the water out just so he can get to the scales, mate. It's just horrendous. It's the stupidest thing. And I'm about to do it again soon. Brilliant. Thanks for reminding me about weight cutting.
Easier in Vegas, though, surely. Just go sit outside for a bit.
It's just not easy.
When is it? October?
October, yeah. October the 11th. I've got 10 weeks. I'm about where I'm a bit of it, to be honest. But, you know, listen, it is what it is. I'll get it done. And then you look at guys like Darren Caldwell, Jeremy Stevens. Darren Caldwell walks around at 77, 78 kilo, fights at 61. Jeremy Stevens, I've seen him on the scales at 84 kilo, right? So you think about...
He's a big lad. He's a thick lad.
Thick will knock you the fuck out, man. And you want to go up a weight. Whether they're even doing that at the weight above.
Yeah. Well, I see Rumble Johnson fighting at 170 when he's like 230, 235, and you're just like,
didn't make sense. It just doesn't make any sense. It's stupid. I hope we get it out of the sport, but until then, I'll carry on just killing myself.
Right, do you know what? I think we should wrap it up there.
Yeah,
thank you guys for joining us. Let us know in the comments if you've got any ideas for a better name for this than fighting out of Manchester.
Any ideas at all. Listen, this is new to us. We're going to do it for a bit of a buzz every Wednesday, so tune in.
Yeah, we'll probably keep doing it live. We'll probably just keep doing it live. Yeah. Let us know what you got for comments. Make sure to go and give Brendan a follow if you don't already as well and get some insight in what's going on in his camp. And then next week we'll start talking about Just how the camp's going in general and that. I mean, what, October?
We have a 10-week camp coming up, so, you know, hopefully we'll get another 10 episodes. You'll watch my face decrease, my body decrease. You'll watch me turn into a little child again over the next 10 weeks. So, yeah, should be a buzz. Tune in.
All right, nice one. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you in the next one in a bit.